to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 this morning, as we continue working through the book of Colossians. Mike, you're a little too big of a kid. I'm sorry. It's scary when he's taken out of him. I don't know. All right. Colossians chapter 3 this morning, as we continue on, I want you to think about this question. How does the gospel affect us every day? How does the gospel affect us every day? If we were all willing to admit, there are days that we don't even think about it. There are days that we get so caught up in what's going on around us that we forget our time with the Lord, or we forget to spend time in prayer, or forget to take time in the Word of God. Or maybe that's our regular schedule. Is to say we're so busy that, you know what, we're just going to push that aside and we'll get to it when we get to it, or you know, once a week might be good enough. But I want us to think about, how does the gospel affect us every day? Here in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, he starts off, "If then you have been raised with Christ," and here is the modifier for what we're going to see going on here in chapter 3 in these first four verses. If you have been raised with Christ. In other words, if you have new life in Christ, if the gospel has been applied to your life and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you know Him, He's in your life, if you are raised with Christ, then we're going to see this is what should happen. And we're going to see action tied to it. And this morning, what we're going to see is the realm of rule. The realm of rule. You see, we work and we live and we go day by day in this world that's around us. And we see the world referred to in Scripture all the time. We see the world as that kind of that system that is really set up and maintained by Satan that we see going on around us. It's contrary to God. We see it in 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. And as we see these different things are happening, we see that there is a world that we are a part of, that we are in. But that world does not rule us. This world is not our home. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3 that our citizenship is in heaven. And that's where we're looking and that's where we're going. And so if this world is not the realm that rules us, there is another possibility. And that's what we're seeing in this passage this morning. Look here in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." So now as Paul is turning from the teaching and he's now giving us some application to what he has taught, all of chapter 2 we saw that fullness of Christ talked about who He is. And if we've seen this fullness, now what do we do with it? If we are raised with Christ, let me tell you something, folks. If you're raised with Christ, if you're walking in Jesus Christ, it should be evident. It should come out in our life. We don't have to walk defeated. We don't have to walk without a hope, because we have a hope through it. And that is in that idea of being raised in life with Christ. What's wonderful in these four verses, we see that phrase repeated, with Christ, with Christ. We are raised with Christ. And so if so, we must seek the things that are above. What Paul is going to show us this morning in these four verses here is that the realm of rule is exposed by intentionality. The realm of rule is exposed by intentionality. In other words, what we intentionally do in our life is showing who has the control and who has the rule. our actions display what is going on the inside and what's happening in our hearts and in our lives. And notice what he says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. The things that are above is a phrase that is referencing that heavenly rule that we have in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and he's bringing up this idea of Christ the ruler, of Christ that judge, sitting on the right hand of God. The right hand of God is bringing about a reference to Psalm 110, where God tells Christ to sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. And here we see this rule aspect of the sovereignty of God through the reign of Christ. And if Christ is at the right hand of God, then it's our job to seek those things that are from above. Seek those things that are in line with that rule of Jesus Christ. Is your life intentionally ruled by Jesus Christ day by day? If you are raised with Christ, this rule is going to be intentional. It's going to come out. We're going to see it one way or another. So seek the things that are above. It's beyond just looking up at the stars. Did you catch what happened this past week when NASA put out a new job description, a new job that they're looking for? The protector of the Earth, right? Well, they got an applicant for that job. He wrote on August 3rd, in beautiful handwriting, "Dear NASA, my name is Jack Davis, and I would like to apply for the Planetary Protection Officer job. I may be 9, but I think I would be fit for the job. One of the reasons is my sister says I am an alien also. Here's his real qualification. I have seen almost all the space and alien movies I can see. I have also seen the show Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and hope to see the video and movies Men in Black. I am great at video games. I am young, so I can learn to think like an alien. Sincerely, Jack Davis, Guardian of the Galaxy, 4th grade." Jack has his mind on things above, doesn't he, right? He has seen all the alien movies. You know, this is a mindset and an idea here. We see the thinking about the looking up at the stars, seeing the things above. We want to change that into seeing what God would have for us. Letting that rule in our hearts and lives come from above, not what's around us. Listen, the world system is broken. And we're seeing it in events played out before us. Yesterday should break our hearts that this is continuing in our nation. And this sense that we see there in Charlottesville and Virginia and all the needless stuff that is happening, the hate, the violence, and what we see throughout our nation, we are seeing that this world system is broken. This world system has trouble. And let me tell you, the answer to that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that seeking of Jesus Christ is what should be on our attentions each and every day. The realm of rule in our life is going to be exposed by our intentionality. So, what does Paul say? For our intentionality, the first thing we need to do is we need to raise your standards. Raise your standard. Notice in verse 1, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. In these two verses here, we see two commands. Two words that Paul gives for us that is a command that he is saying, this is what I want you to do. When you see a command in Scripture, you know that we are seeing something that we need to do. And his two commands are to seek and to set. To seek and to set. First, we see the word here for to seek. This idea of to seek is the idea to pursue. It's the idea of heading out after with the goal of obtaining. He says, I want you to seek after these things that are from above. Seek after these things of the Lord. There has to be a pursuit that is seen in our life. Many times our pursuit gets a little bit lackadaisical. And we need to ramp it up, and we need to ramp up the idea of pursuing after who He is. This idea of pursuit brings in the idea of our disciplines and what we are trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do for the Lord. We have an opportunity through our disciplines to pursue after Christ. Our disciplines themselves are not the goal. It is not the goal to be able to say, I do all these different things and I check my list off. No, those disciplines are there so that we say, I am pursuing, I am seeking after Jesus Christ. And I want to be in a place where He can move and work in my heart and life. But sometimes we get into different positions and our pursuit changes. You know, football is starting up. None too soon, if you ask me. And I remember back in high school and playing football, there was a drill that we did on defense. It was called the pursuit drill. And what would happen is we would be lined up in our positions. They would have a coach and a running back. And that coach would snap the ball. He would pitch it to the running back one way or another. And what would happen is on the snap of the ball and the pitch, and we would see which direction that running back was going, we would have to do an up-down and then get up and then have to pursue after the ball. But the thing was, where you were on the field changed your pursuit. And there was different pursuit angles. If I was playing on this end of the offensive line and the running back went that way, my job wasn't to shoot that way because guess what? He wasn't going to be there. Running backs were usually a whole lot faster than me for some reason. I don't know. He wasn't going to be there if I headed that direction. So my job in pursuit was to stop and head that direction and run as fast as my chubby little feet could get me down that direction. You know, when we get away from the source, our pursuit angle changes. The guys on this end of the line, if the running back was coming this way, guess where their pursuit was? Straight ahead. Right there at him. They had a closer pursuit angle to get to him. And the same is true in our walk with the Lord. This idea of seeking after the Lord, we need to make sure we're on the right side and that we are pursuing Him and we have a short pursuit angle. Because when we're having to go far and we're having to pursue Him far, we know how difficult it can be. Why not get up close to the Lord and have a short pursuit angle for Him to seek those things that are above? That's His command. But Paul then explains it a little bit more in verse 2. He says, set your minds on things that are above. Set here as well is another command. He's telling them, I want you not only to seek and pursue, but you're going to do that by setting your mind, that you are going to concentrate. You are going to be very intentional in your walk with the Lord and going and following after Him. You're going to set your mind on the things that are above. How do we set our minds? Some of you, if my mind wakes up in the morning, I'm doing good, all right? But how do we set our minds? Think about your habits. Think about the things that you do without thinking about. How does that come about? Repetition. Repetition. Hopefully you all are in the habit of brushing your teeth, right? Because it's something you have done. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Here with the setting of our mind, it's an opportunity for us to concentrate, to put that influence into our life. Listen, folks, the things that you spend time on are the things that you value. Because your time sometimes is a greater resource than your money. And what you spend time in and what you spend time on and you are in and invested in, those things can overwhelm and overtake your life. And so we must also set our minds to the things that are above. We must train our minds, set them in a way. And this takes practice. It takes that discipline. It takes putting the right influence in our time upon the Lord. If prayer is not a part of it, then we're going to see that our walk and relationship with the Lord is going to lack in that area. If the Word of God is not a part of it, then our relationship with the Lord is going to lack in that area. This is a very intentional aspect that Paul is getting across here. Seek and set your mind for the things above. We need to raise that standard by seeking Him and setting our minds towards Him. It's an intentional process. One thing I have realized this week, that I'm getting older, and exercise doesn't come as easy. I've realized I'm not 16 anymore. My metabolism's not the same anymore. And instead of, you know, going out and just running like everything's okay, I now have words like injection, torn cartilage, and those types of things going on. And you know what? At this point in my life, as a teenager, you could eat whatever, go out, your metabolism was kicked in, and you know what? You wouldn't gain an ounce. But nowadays, things are changing, and so exercise has to be very intentional. I've got a scheduled time for it. I've got to make way, and as you can tell, I've really scheduled a whole lot of time for it. But we have to be very intentional, and I have to be intentional on my exercise plan, and the doctor said words like physical therapy, which I think are of the devil. But as you look at these things, we see exercise as being very intentional, but why don't we see that the same way in our Christian walk? Our Christian walk should be just as intentional, that we are in the Word of God because it produces in our hearts and lives. We are praying and bringing our requests and supplications before the Lord because it creates that community with the Lord and that communion that He told us to do. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. We must be intentional in our walk with the Lord, and we must raise our standard. If we're going to press farther and if we're going to do more for the gospel's sake, we got to raise the standard of our intentionality. We've got to be willing to put the effort behind it. These things that are above require this daily focus, because both of these commands, seek and to set, are coming to us as a present command. He's saying, you need to do it, and you need to keep doing it. It's active. You need to keep on doing it. Keep on pursuing. Keep on setting your mind, because if we let a little bit of a gap happen in there, you know what? Our pursuit changes. And all of a sudden, we're a lot farther down the road than where we need to be. Raise your standards. And then secondly, we see, rehearse your history. Rehearse your history. Look at verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Here now, after we have raised our standards, we do that, we pursue, we set our minds, we concentrate, because we have a history. And notice what that history is when in verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hear this idea, you have died, and He is speaking there of that moment when we accept Christ as our Savior, and we repent of our sins, and we come to a relationship through Jesus Christ with God the Father. There is a death to the old self. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we're going to see a new self. The old self has died, and there is a new self that is put in there through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. And now that we have this new self, we have a new walk, because we have died to the old self. We've died to that sinful nature. We don't have time to look at it all, but read Romans chapter 6 to see how he talks about the fact that, hey, listen, we don't have to let sin reign in our mortal bodies, because we have died to that through Jesus Christ, and we can now walk in the newness of life in Him. And because of that, we have died. And notice that next phrase. It's beautiful. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. This word here, it's in the perfect tense. It means it happened and it's continuing to happen. that we have been hidden with Christ, and there He has us safe and secure, because that moment when the gospel takes effect in our life and we become that regenerated believer, His righteousness is imputed. It's accredited to our account. So when God looks on us, He doesn't see our righteousness anymore. He sees Christ's righteousness that's been applied to our account. And when He sees that, we are now hidden with Christ. And that's why Paul can say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of that, we are not only heirs of God, but we are joint heirs with Christ. And if that is true, and if that is happening, our life is hidden away with Christ, that we have that protection in Him. It's not that we are just tucked away. It means that we have an advocate with the Father, and His name is Jesus Christ, and we have been hidden with Him. Because notice what He says there. We have been hidden with Christ in God. It's an interesting phrase for Paul. A lot of times he uses the "with Christ" in his teachings, but here he adds "in God." It brings out even more the depth of this protection and this depth that we have through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have been hidden and tucked away with Him, and not only in Christ, but we are in God as well. It reminds me of John chapter 10, when Jesus says there in verses 27 through 30 that my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them everlasting life, and they are in my hand, and my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and they are in my Father's hands, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hands. We are hidden away because of the work of Jesus Christ. And if we've been raised with Him, our life is hidden with Him. So guess what? Pursue the things that are above. Because the things on the earth aren't going to match it anymore. The things on the earth aren't going to come close. Money can't buy you what Jesus Christ did for you. Pursue the things that are above. They're hidden with Him. And then notice not only the past that they're hidden. Notice verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Will appear. We have the past in being hidden. That's continuing on. And now we have the future. We will appear with Him in glory. Here is the promise that one day Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, He's going to receive us unto His own. And there we know that we will rule and reign with Him in glory forever. And if you want to know more about it, tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to get through Revelation. All right? But as we look at this aspect, we see here the future promise that we have in Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory, that we are going to be with Him. Paul then gives us a subtle little validation of what's happening here. Because there in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, there in the original language, this word is in the past tense. And then he uses the future tense, when we will appear. What is he saying here? He's saying that this event is bankable. This event is trustworthy. This event is going to happen. That's why he uses that past tense word with a future tense. He is saying that he is going to appear and this is going to happen. That this is true. That this is trustworthy. That when he comes back, we are going to appear with him. Folks, the promise is that this broken world one day is going to go away and we're going to be with him for all eternity. Ruling and reigning with him for all eternity. This is why we seek the things that are above. Matthew 6:19-20 tells us that to lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but to lay treasures up in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we have an eternal savings account. Because one day we know it's true that Christ is going to appear and we will get to appear with Him in glory. Here this realm of rule is seen by our intentionality, and it's seen when we seek and we pursue Him, we set our minds, we concentrate on Him, and we do that because of our history. Because of the fullness of Jesus Christ that he's just talked about in chapter 2. And all of that's playing into why we pursue and why we follow after and why we go after him. But then, our intentionality exposes who has our life. Our intentionality will then expose who has our life. Because there in that first part of verse 4, notice what he says. When Christ, who is your life, when Christ, who is your life, it makes me think of 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are His. Understand, when we know what Jesus Christ has done for us, and when we see that gospel applied to our heart and life, it's not just so that we can take it and use it to our own thoughts and abilities. It's so that we can take it and use it for what it's meant for, and that's to glorify God. I've been reading through Exodus in my quiet times, and a couple weeks ago, this phrase kept sticking out to me. You know, a lot of times when we think of Moses standing before Pharaoh and the plagues, and he's bringing the plagues and the judgments, what do we think of that purpose? Why was Moses doing that? To let the people go, right? But you know, that's not all. Because in the Word of God, and as you look there in Exodus, the Lord says that this is going to happen because I want Pharaoh to let my people go that they may serve me. You see, the Passover and the blood upon the doorpost of the Paschal Lamb and all that they went through, it was not just so that they could get out of Dodge and get out of the bondage, but it's so that they could go to the Promised Land. So that they could be there at Mount Sinai and receive the law and receive the instructions on how to follow the Lord. And so that they could go then to the Promised Land, and there could be that area where we would see the city of David. That city of David would be that city of prophecy, that one day in a manger would come the Son of God. You see, we see God's bigger picture in all these different things. And so many times we have a very narrow viewpoint. And when we make our seeking and our setting all about just what we need and what we want, we miss God's bigger picture. Because you see, He just doesn't want to give you a good day today or tomorrow. He wants to give you an eternity with Him forever and ever. He wants to be your life. When Christ, who is your life, He doesn't want to be an addition to your life. He doesn't want to be just a sliver of your schedule. He wants to be your life. And our intentionality exposes who has our life. When we walk more intentionally for the things of this world, we're showing that we're still trying to seek those things. We're still trying to seek the pleasures of this world. Maybe the money, maybe the finances, maybe the health and the wealth, all of those different aspects that we can see around us. And boy, the world would love it if you do. They want you to spend the money. They're going to try to make you spend it as quickly as possible. And Amazon is really good about it. But you know what? There's something far more valuable in seeking the things that are above. Instead of making Christ a little compartment, how about making Him our life, like Paul talks about? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he calls it our reasonable service. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not me, but Christ in me. And as we see this opportunity that we get to live day by day, regardless of what arena we might be walking in and where we might be, we can seek and pursue and set our minds and concentrate on the things that are above, because there we will find a life for eternity. There we find that treasure where moth and rust, it's not going to corrupt it. But we get to walk in Him intentionally. You know what I love about our little fourth grader, Jack? You got to love his spirit, right? Seeking those things above. NASA wrote back to him. They sent him a letter. Dear Jack, I hear you are a guardian of the galaxy, and that you are interested in being a NASA planetary protection officer. That's great. Our planetary protection officer position is really cool. It's interesting to hear NASA say really cool. And it's very important work. It's about protecting Earth from tiny microbes when we bring back samples from the moon, asteroids, and Mars. It's about protecting other planets and moons from our germs as we responsibly explore the solar system. We are always looking for bright future scientists and engineers to help us. So I hope you will study hard and do well in school. We hope to see you here at NASA one of these days. You know what NASA told him to do? Be intentional. Work hard. Study hard. Do well in school so that one day we can see you here. He told him, be intentional. When we seek the things of above, we need to be intentional in that pursuit. You know what? Some days it's easy to get off of it, isn't it? Some days it's easy to forget it. But that's why we remember, for we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Raise the standard, rehearse your history, and seek the Lord. Seek those things that are above. In this realm, and what we are walking in day by day, who is Christ to you? Is He your pursuit? Or are you just trying to add Him in? Let's seek and let's set. Let's stand together. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for a moment here in reflection. We have this time just to listen to how the Spirit might be working in your heart and life right now. And we have this time to obey. Maybe God has brought something to your attention. And through His Spirit, He has pricked your heart. And this morning, we have the opportunity to intentionally act upon it. And as we come to this time of response, and as we reflect, I want you to reflect on your heart and your life and ask God, God, what would you have me to do? As we think about what He has done for us, may we respond with, Lord, because of all that, because of what you've done with us, as I think about my history in you, what would you have me to do right now? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you need to start that relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe there's never been that point where you've just stopped and said, I know I can't do this by myself. I see this brokenness not only in the world, but I see it in me, and I need a Savior. Do you know what Jesus Christ has provided for you today? An answer to your brokenness. And maybe today you need to see that brokenness fixed, and you need to start that pursuit of Jesus Christ. Here in just a moment, I'm going to be right down front. I'd love for you to be able to come and just step out and say, I need this change. And if you are raised with Christ, if you know Christ as your Savior, how is He speaking to you today? And if He is your life, will you show it? Because if He is your life, you can't help. It is going to intentionally come out. It is going to be natural. Maybe there's some things that have been in the way that you need to come to an altar and just give it over to Him today. Maybe you need to come and confess, Lord, I have walked in my own power, and today I need to walk in yours. And you need to come and just get that pursuit of Him right. The altar's open. as we come to this time of reflection, I pray that we would do so pursuing God, seeking Him, and willing to set our minds and concentrate on Him. Are you willing? Then let's respond to Him today. Our Father, as we come now, I pray that You would move. Help us, Lord, to know what we need to do for Your sake, for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, we'll give You all the thanks and praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.